You. I'm sorry, you guys.
All right. I just want to say welcome, everyone. This is From Managing to Living, and we're going to do one podcast a month. We've just recently launched in January. This is our second one. We went from 6:30 to 7 because we didn't know at 6:30. We thought, it's the first time we've done an evening one, and we thought this would work out for us. But sometimes life gets a little crazy, and we've discovered that 7 is going to be a little easier for us to jump on. So we've bumped it to 7, and I did fix everything on the calendars, in the Academy, also in the meetup groups, the Facebook group, everything. I did update all of that to 7, so you'll see that. Last month, we talked about seeing clearly. It was our foundation month of managing to living. And I don't know about you, but sometimes I just kind of let life, it just kind of catches me in the stream, and I'm just kind of going downstream with whatever's happening. And then one day, when I do get some time to stop and think, I go, how'd I get here? Why am I doing what I'm doing? And I'm not doing some of the things that I think I want to do or some of my dreams. And so we talked last month about not only getting our health on the list, which oftentimes we don't have it on the list. I don't know about you, but I did. Oh gosh, 25 years in the salon industry. And I say this all the time. This is one of my little sayings, is that I worked for 25 years like my hair was on fire. It was like, oh my gosh, I've got an appointment. I got to run. I got to get on the road. I got to get dressed. I got to get home. I got to get dinner. I got to get to bed because I got to get up early. And I just did that for so many years. And so now I'm rebelling. I'm at that age where, I'm going to be the rebellious, senior citizen. I'm like, nope, I don't want anything where I don't mind having a few time commitments, but I don't want that daily. And of course, in the salon industry, it was hourly. I had a client every hour on the hour, so I had to, every hour was a race. And so one of the things when I decided that it was time for me to retire, and I was afraid I was going to really miss the income. That was my biggest fear, was missing the income. And so it was hard for me to make that next step into retirement. And so I actually had a coach to help me. And the coach said, we're going to draw a line in the sand on your final day, because I knew that once I told my customers what date that I was retiring, I knew that they would start finding, someone else to do their services. And I couldn't come back a week later and go, oh, I changed my mind. So I knew I had to mean it. And so I was afraid. I was afraid to mean it too soon. So I put that date 24 months out. I worked another 2 years when I should have retired, because by then the doctor was talking about surgery on my neck and surgery on my shoulder and surgery on my elbow and surgery on my wrist. And so finally, I had to sit down, and we talked about this last month. I had to sit down in my journaling, and I simply made a list of all the things I wanted to do, and I made a list of all the things I didn't want to continue doing. And that was huge for me to make that transition. And I put on there, working in the salon was one of the things I didn't want to do going forward. And I had to see it in writing. I had to have that deadline. It was kind of hard, but I did it. And one of the ways that I was able to do it is that over the years, I started investing in real estate. And so I was able to sharpen my pencil, if you will, and calculate what my cash flow was going to be with just the real estate. And could I live within that without just blowing everything up? And that's what we don't want to do at this stage of our lives. We don't want to just throw every, you don't want to throw, as my mother used to say, don't throw the baby out with the bathwater. And I never did understand what that meant, but I understand what that means now. So you don't want to necessarily burn down the whole house just to start over. You want to start over with what you've already built. And so I had to actually write it down, because in my head I just kept playing all these different scenarios, and then I would feel exhausted, like, oh, I still don't know what I want to do. And so when I finally started writing it down on what I did want to do and what I didn't want to do, it became more clear where I needed to put my effort. And so one of the things that I wanted to do is I wanted to get healthier. And so I put that on the list, some things that I wanted to do to get, I wanted to eat better. I wanted to, get a little exercise routine going, nothing major, and I know me, I've always been this person. It was all or nothing. Oh, if I'm going to work out, then I'm going to join the gym and I'm going to go every day for 4 hours. And I'm, and of course you can't, sustain that long term. And then you just walk away and go, okay, that's too hard. I can't add that to my schedule. So I finally realized that I just had to do one or two little things every day that kept pushing my cart in the right direction toward the list of things that I really knew that I wanted to do, either dreams that I had, places I wanted to see, things that I wanted to do, get better health, exercise a little bit, eat better. And I didn't do it every day. I didn't do it even every meal, but I certainly started just taking those small steps. I just simply started. And as I continued on, I just kept getting better and better at a lot of those things. Now, for those of you that know me personally, know that over, it's been 3 years ago now, but back up 2 years prior, the first 2 years of my last 3 years, I started on a weight loss journey and I've lost over 70 pounds. I went from 200 pounds down to 135. I weighed in at 135 this morning. And that's kind of my goal now. And the doctor's very, very happy with me. I've since, written, I've been a co-author in a book called Biohacking Entrepreneur, which is all about biohacking your health. And so recently I did pay for out of pocket a full body scan just because I thought, you know what, we have this technology, so I'm going to use it to my advantage. I'm not going to wait until symptoms show up and then the doctor sends me for one. So of course my insurance says it's not medically necessary for me, but I wanted to see if there was something going on before I had any symptoms. And yes, there is. I actually have a gallstone in my gallbladder, just one, small. And the doctor told me, he said, it's probably because of your weight loss, even though you did it over a 2 year period. He said to lose that much in a 2 year period, he said your gallbladder and your liver is what has to get rid of all of that as you're losing. And he said, and sometimes it can't keep up. So, and that's one of the side effects of dropping weight rapidly is that you could have kidney, liver, and gallbladder issues. So anyway, I do have a gallstone, but the doctor said they're just going to watch it, but we know now to watch it. See, so now I'm not going to, be one of these folks that end up having, oh, and they told me what to not do, what to not eat, what keeps it from getting more inflamed. And so now I can be very proactive. And it was like $1,000. And I know to a lot of people, that's a lot of money. I get that. But if I ended up, being diagnosed with something serious, I know that my out of pocket is going to be a whole lot more than $1,000. So I just decided it was worth it to get the scan. And I am going back to Florida this coming April for my fourth book. And it's called Beyond Biohacking. And it talks about how to biohack your life, not just your health, and how to rearrange not only what you're doing for your health, but what you're doing just for lifestyle in general. And so, one of the things that I'm giving away at this conference, I do have an expo table, and I'm giving away a free heart scan. And so, that's something I'm very excited about. So, it's the same company that I did my scan with that I paid for, and they're allowing me to give away as many free heart scans. So it's not a full body scan, but as many free heart scans looking for, any plaque buildup in the heart. So I can give away as many of those as I want during this conference. So I'm excited about that. So that's what's going on with me. So anyway, with all of that said, this month we are going to be talking about energy and attention. And James Redfield made a quote that said, where your attention goes, energy flows. And this is from James Redfield, where your attention goes, energy flows. So whatever we pay attention to is where our energy goes. And and so if we're paying attention to complaining all the time, then our energy is going toward complaining all the time. And then our life gets worse and we don't understand why, but it's because we're complaining all the time. So I think we have to be very careful what we pay attention to and where we send our energy. And so that's what we want to talk about today. But before we jump into the actual topic, and the first topic is work-life balance, and that's always the big topic for those of us that are still working. And even though I'm of retirement age, I still put in a full day. Right now, my retirement is my rental properties, and I run all of my own rental properties. I do all of my own management, and so I've spent my day to day calculating property tax. So, on 30 doors. So anyway, so it's where your energy, or where your attention goes, is where your energy flows. So my energy has been all about property taxes today. But before we jump into that topic, I want to introduce you to Andora. She is my co-host, my co-mod. And Andora, I want you to tell the folks a little bit just about your background, kind of like I did, and to where you are in your life. And for those that don't know, Andora is still working a full-time job and managing rental properties, and on she's on board, and she's written, co-authored a book. So yeah. Sometimes we're our own worst enemy. I get it. But anyway, Andora, over to you. But before we do that, Mindy, can I make you my co-host on the Zoom call?
Look, she's giving you the look. She's went.
Yeah, I did that because if I would get bumped off for some reason, someone has to let me in.
Oh,
If my
that's
internet bumps me off. Oh,
cool.
she's like, no, I'm not letting you back in. I love you too, Mindy. Oh, okay, Andor, over to you.
So my name's Andora Marshall, and I too am going through many life changes right now. I would say in the past 3 months, I left a job of 17 and a half years and decided to start a new job at an entirely new industry, but kind of doing the same thing. So it's cybersecurity and project management. And I made that decision because, like what Kathy mentioned, it's like about what you focus your energy on. And I had prior to that been working from home for the past 5 years. And the current company that I was working for, not the current one now, but the previous one rather, wanted me to come back into the office full time, 5 days a week, and drive downtown traffic. And I'm like, So fortunately, I had a recruiter reach out and say, "Hey, how would you like to come over to a different position?" And so I thought, why not? So typically, I work from in the office 4 days, but I'm able to. If I get in there like at 6, I can leave at 2 or 3 and then do the rest of the hours at home. And then I have Fridays or Mondays at home. So for me, time is really important. And then having a shorter commute. And then prior to that, I should say, I worked in another company for 21 years. So, and then I got into real estate in 1988. My mother had passed away and had left her childhood home to my sister, my brother, and I. And so that kind of gave me the idea, like, maybe this real estate thing could be profitable. And I think I even mentioned this on my last call. I didn't think I was going to get married, so I had to have a plan B just in case, that didn't work out. So I thought, Minnie's laughing about this. Like, yes, it's true. It's true. So yeah, I just kind of got into that and started buying single family homes. And I'd say in the past 5 years, I've bought a duplex, some commercial offices, and some condos. And so I'm really into the whole midterm thing. I really enjoy hosting. We did have a short-term rental in St. Petersburg, Florida. I enjoyed that. But I do like having the properties here closer. We end up selling it because during the pandemic, many of the snowbirds, as they call them, because it was in Florida, weren't able to get to Florida because of COVID. And so we were having this condo just sit vacant, and we couldn't even get there ourselves. So anyway, so that's kind of what got me into real estate. But I've been kind of, I'm also on different boards. I'm in the on the HOA board for my neighborhood, and then the HOA board for Park Towers, which is where I own, and was in a women's, a very large women's organization of like 250 women. And but just all these things, as Kathy mentioned, and I would say this past year, I'm really looking at things differently. I'm like, okay, what's the things that give me joy? What do I really enjoy doing? Instead of just doing all these crazy busy things and being busy all the time, I'm really looking at how do I want to spend my time? You know, I'm 60 years old. I'll be 61 this year. And then I had my sister pass away this past January. And boy, when you lose a family member, that really puts things in perspective, right? You start realizing that we're not here a lot of time or a long time on this earth. So while we're here, it's essential to take care of our health and to spend time. And really, as you get older, you start learning it's not so much about money, but it's about creating memories, I think. I think it's about creating memories and spending time with friends and family. And that's something sometimes that money obviously can't buy. Now, obviously, we all have to be able to have money to pay the bills, right? So it's not like you can just quit your job and say, hey, I think I'm going to quit my job and just visit with my friends. And yeah, you got to have a plan. And I know later on tonight, Kathy, I think you mentioned you're going to talk about seller financing. So that will kind of segue into that. But Kathy had sent me this really nice list of topics tonight. And I would have to say, with the first one starting off about time, you know, and health. Yeah, that's another thing too. I've probably lost 30 pounds in the past year myself, because I think I was spending so much time on doing so many other things besides my health. And I know everybody's heard this saying before, your health is your wealth, right? If you don't have your health, it doesn't matter how much money you have in a bank account. You know, we'll see different celebrities and we'll find out, oh, they've had ALS or MS or some type of other pancreatic cancer, you know, all these types of things. So it's just goes to show that not that those things that you can't prevent some of those things, but really it truly is, you know, your health is your wealth. And I am an avid walker. Mindy and we used to do a lot of what, half marathons, 10Ks, 15Ks, constantly every weekend. And I do enjoy those, but those are like organized race where you have to show up and you got to get up at the crack of dawn or something like 5 or 6 a.m. in the morning, and you have to be down at a race place. And it's fun because the energy is fun. But like I said, so I'm getting older. I'm just starting to realize that I don't have to be doing something all the time. So I think that's a little bit about me. So I'll pass it back to you because I think our next topic is, are we going to talk about writing legacy or
Well, the first
passing
thing I
into?
want to talk about is when we talk about our energy, sometimes we try to fix our productivity first instead of our energy first. And this is where you have to get the health at the top of the list, not somewhere in the middle or at the bottom. I think you have to get the health at the top of the list. And so the number one thing, are we getting enough sleep? Take a look at your sleep. Are you scrolling on the phone too late at night? Are you, you know, do you have, you know, they tell you that if you have those the lights on your phone, even when you're charging your phone in your bedroom, where it can disrupt your sleep. So the first thing I want to bring to everyone's attention is, are you getting enough sleep? Because that is something that we have total control over. I read something earlier today that really jumped out at me. This and again, I was scrolling and I ran across, I was taking a little break. I was working hard on property taxes all day and I finally took a little break to have lunch. And so I was scrolling during my little lunch break and I ran across this guy that said, why is it that we always are trying to fix things that we can't control and we don't fix the things that are totally in our control? So we worry about trying to, you know, fix something at work that really is out of our control, or we're trying to fix something that we don't own it, we can't control it. And he said, and one of the things you can control, he said, if you can control your evening, and this was what really kind of jumped out and smacked me. He said, if you can control your evening, you can control your life. If you can control your evening, you can control your life. What do you have for dinner? How late are you going to eat? What time are you going to go to bed? What is it that you're going to watch on television? If you can control your evening, you can control your life. But instead, he said, people, they drink too much, they stay up too late, they're scrolling on their phones, they're eating all the wrong stuff, and then they go to work and try to fix everything there that they really don't have any control over. Or they try to go out in their groups or their organizations or wherever they go during the day, and they try to fix what they really have no control over. And he said, if they would just control their evening, they could control their life. Their whole life would change just by controlling their evening. So anyway, I just want to highlight that and ask us, are we getting enough sleep? Are we controlling our evening? What kind of light exposure are we getting? What kind of nervous system calm are we doing? What kind of work-life balance are we calling it a day at a certain time? Now, again, I think a lot of us are products of what's caught, not what's taught. And my dad was a builder, but the one thing that I caught from my dad as a builder, he was self-employed, but every day, because in the summertime when I was out of school, I had to go with him. I had to go up to the house with him, whatever house he was building. And I hated it as a kid, you know, because there was nothing to do. I was bored because he was building a house. And, you know, and I just had to hang out because my parents didn't really have the money for childcare. My mom was a factory worker, so she was like, you got to go with your dad. And I'm like, oh. So anyway, I can remember very clearly that at 7 o'clock in the morning, he would be, come on, come on, come on, get dressed, get up, get dressed. We got to go. We got to go because I got to, you know. And what I didn't understand as a child that I more than understand as an adult is that he had a draw from the bank and he had to answer to the bank at certain stages of this house. And so he couldn't just dilly-dally around. He had to get incredibly organized. He was a one-man show. He would buy the lot, he would get a builder's loan from a local bank, he would build the house, and at certain intervals throughout that 12-month period, he had to be at a certain spot on that build, or they were not going to give him another draw on his building loan. And of course, I didn't understand that as a kid, but I do now. And so he would say, come on, come on, come on, we're gonna go, gotta go. I got so much I gotta get done today. And but at 5 o'clock every day, he would start putting his tools away and we would come home every day. He didn't work until 10 at night. He didn't go in on the weekends. He worked being self-employed as if he were working for an employer, like he was punching a time clock. He left the house every day at 7. He put his tools away every day at 5, Monday through Friday, like clockwork. And in a year's time, he would have built an entire house, and then he put it on the market, paid off the loan, you know, the building loan, and would buy another lot and do it again. And so he basically got paid once a year when the house sold. And so I, again, as a kid, I didn't get that, but as an adult, I clearly do, because when that house sold is when we would get a new car or we'd get some new furniture or we'd take that trip. And the rest of the time, my mom was responsible for paying the, you know, the daily, monthly bills with her factory job. And so that was the lifestyle that they chose, right, wrong, or indifferent. That's the lifestyle they chose for themselves. That's how I grew up. The daughter of a building contractor. And one of the things that I hope I caught from him was that tenaciousness to show up. And I think I did catch that because when I started in the salon industry, I started from scratch. I walked out of cosmetology school at age 42 with my license and zero customers. And within 5 years, I had five salons. And was buying the buildings that the salons were in, and that became my retirement. Now that was the plan, but I had to show up every day, and I did. So anyway, with that said, what are we doing for that work-life balance? Do you have some boundaries in place that you know you're spending time for your health, for your family, for your hobbies? You know, what is the other saying? All work and no play makes Jack a dull boy. So don't be that person. So anyway, now Andorra and I both have decided to use real estate as our passive income. The most passive, for those of you that have not branched off into real estate or say, oh, I could never do that, the most passive is long-term rentals because I've got one renter that's been with me for 17 years, and every month they just pay their rent like clockwork. And And again, I've got systems in place for the maintenance. And you hear all the horror stories. I don't want calls at 2 a.m. that the toilet doesn't work. Well, I don't get any of those because I've got all my systems in place, and I can teach you how to do that. So not to worry about that if that's a concern. But anyway, one of the big questions is, I don't have the money to invest to get started in real estate. So what I want to talk about briefly for those that might be interested is there are tons of deals out there. You have to look for them, you have to know where to find them, where the seller is willing to finance the deal. And there is a whole website for lease purchase options where you can lease purchase something where part of your lease payment is going toward the purchase. That's the seller financing that. And that is a great way to get started in investing in real estate. And again, my dad told me when I was probably about 16 years old, he said, if you buy the house you live in and you buy just one other property, and then at 65, or you let that accumulate in value, you let it appreciate, 20, 30 years. He said, and then when you're ready to retire, he said, you can either use the rental income as part of your retirement income. But if you need more money than that, he said, if you sell that, it'll be worth two or three times what you paid for it or more in these times. And he said, and there's that cash that you otherwise wouldn't have saved up. And he said, you're going to let a renter buy you a house, a second house. So he said, buy one early, rent it out, rent it for 20, 30 years, use it toward your rental income. So I did that several times. I had five commercial buildings by the time I retired from the salon industry. And my staff, because I did what was called booth rent salons, for those of you that might know what that is, where the girls would rent a booth station to do hair. And I had 12 girls in my biggest building, and my smallest one, I think I had five. But I had five salons total with various numbers of staff in each one. And basically, my staff bought me five commercial buildings. And by the time I retired, all five buildings were paid for. And now that rental income is now my retirement income. And so then I just put those buildings into my systems so that I keep the maintenance. But I did those all conventional, which means I went to the bank, I put 20% down, and they gave me the loan, and I just started making mortgage payments. And then I did it again and again and again five times. But if you don't have the credit or you don't have the cash for the 20% down, or you say, gee, I just don't know where I'm going to get the money. I'd love to get into the real estate, but I don't have the money to do it. You certainly could do it with a seller finance. So, Andora, what information do you have or what comments do you have for that?
I have to say, I haven't done any seller financing yet. I've yet to purchase a property where the seller allowed me to purchase it from them. So I know that sometimes it's known as what land contract. That's sometimes what seller financing can be. I know I've heard some people who have purchased long-term rentals and then they don't want to pay the capital gains. So they'll do something like that where they'll finance. I mean, that's, a good tax option, but I have not done that. I've done kind of what you've done, which is purchase the house, either paid cash, because I like to buy distressed properties in great locations and then fix them up. So I've done typically just conventional loans, but I'm interested in doing that, interested in doing seller financing. It's just, I always worry about the other person and think, oh, are they going to think I'm trying to, I just always feel like most people want that money up front, but I know that there are plenty of sellers out there who are willing to do the seller financing, because I know that there's a lot of, you have to have a good attorney, obviously, to write a good contract up for the seller financing. That would be number one, right?
Right. And there's some properties that they don't qualify for a conventional loan, or the
Sure.
property, the bank says, no, it's not. And again, you like the distressed property. So sometimes the property is not up to snuff, if you will, to qualify. And oftentimes, if the seller has an issue where they just need to get out from under that payment, we're not going to get into the whole subject to conversation where you could pick up somebody else's mortgage subject to and just pay on their mortgage for them, because that's another a whole other legal conversation. But a seller financing, a lot of times you are solving a major problem for them. For whatever reason, they need to move that house. They want to move that house. Maybe it was something they inherited and they just don't want to maintain it, or they don't have the funds to maintain it. And you them carrying the note and them getting a payment every month sometimes is just exactly what they're looking for. So it's out there. There's a whole website. I don't know if anyone is interested, but I'm going to put in the chat. I have a link. If you just go to kathybinner.com, I have a link where if you want to talk with me, you can click through if you want to know more about the real estate. There may be many on the call that says, oh, I'm not interested in investing in real estate. I already have a retirement, or for whatever reason, they're okay with where they are in their work life or in their retirement. But if you are interested in real estate, get in touch with me. And Dora put her phone number there on her little Hollywood square. And mine is kathybinner.com, and you can go there if you want to chat with me. But definitely talk to us if you're interested in doing anything about real estate. So I'm going to segue now over to the journaling. That's been huge for me. And here's why. I don't know. My brain must be on overdrive. Maybe I'm a little ADHD. I think I probably was as a kid. I'm not sure that I am now, but maybe. I don't know. But anyway, long story short, when I finally write it down, it seems to make things more clear for me. If I do the two columns, like here's the pros and here's the cons, it really jumps off the page at me as to what my decision should be when I'm wrestling with a choice of some sort. And so what really works for me with journaling is, number one, which we talked about last month, was making a list of all the things that you want to do. What you're, I want to travel more, I want to work less, I want to lose weight, I want to get more healthy, I want to maybe have a bigger house, maybe I want to have a smaller house, maybe I want to downsize, maybe I want to change jobs, whatever it is that you want to do. And then make the other column on what you don't want to do. And be specific. I finally had to put on my I don't want to do salon clients anymore. And don't get me wrong, I loved all my clients. I loved them, loved them, loved them. But I was physically pushing myself through my days those last couple of years because I hurt so bad. And I knew that I had to do something or I was going to end up having, three or four or more surgeries. And so the doctor finally said to me, along with my coach, wouldn't it be a novel idea if you quit right before I cut you all up instead of right after? Because he said, right after you have all these surgeries, you're going to quit. Wouldn't it be a novel idea if you quit right before you had all these surgeries? And I thought, that sounds so simple. Why am I holding on to this? Why am I so? Because it was out of fear. I didn't want to give up that income because I thought, wonder if I don't have enough income to retire on. I'm afraid to let go of it, But once I realized that once I had the surgeries, I was going to have to let go of it anyway, that was so helpful on me putting that on the list of things I don't want to do going forward. I don't want to sit in a salon and work 12-hour days. I don't want to do that because my health was suffering for it. So, Andor, do you journal and is there any tips or tricks? How do you manage big decisions when you have to decide, am I going to stay or am I going to go?
I would say so. I need to journal, and I just wrote something in the chat that says journaling helps us process our emotions. If we don't process emotion, it processes us, right? But usually, when I'm trying to make a big decision and trying to decide something, I do the old-fashioned: take a piece of paper and put all the pros and cons. I'll divide it down the center. Here are the pros if I that I why I want to do this. Here are the cons, and then I'll go back and I will prioritize my list of pros and I'll prioritize my list of cons, and that usually will give me the answer that I need. I'll be like, okay, and something simple. If I want to buy a piece of property, I'll even kind of take it down to, okay, what's the pros of having this property? What's the cons of having this property? Okay, out of the cons, how important are these negative things that I've identified to me? If it's like, this property is going to be very time consuming, it's going to need a complete rehab, everything's going to be redone. I would probably look at that a little bit differently now. So if I look at property, I do like to buy distressed, but I, because at one point in time, I would buy distressed to the point where it would be, new roof, new foundation. I mean, those are big ticket items. Now I'm like, heck no. I like to buy distressed properties that are more cosmetic. But I know we're talking about journaling, so I need to get back into the journaling mode. But I think, yeah, I think it's important to do that. And I keep Sam's, I would like to do that. And I think I had mentioned on the last call, when I was young, I used to keep a diary, and I got traumatized because my mom looked at it. So I'm always like thinking, okay, if I journal and then
Somebody's going to read it. Yeah.
Yes.
But you know what?
Yes.
With technology today, you can do something on your computer or on your phone, and with
Sure.
passwords and all of that, it'd be really hard for somebody to pick it up and read it unless they knew how to get into your device. One of the things, and I want to go back to what Andorra put in the chat about journaling helps us process our emotions. One of the things I started doing when I do journal, and again, I had a coach recommend that I do this, is at the end of the journal, I write, how did this make you feel? And I ask myself, how did this make me feel? Once I journaled a paragraph, how did it make me feel? What do I feel about this post? And once I started doing that, it really was very clear on the changes that I needed to make. And of course, one of them was working less hours and spending more time on my health, and that was huge for me. So, journaling, I think, is a very important part of the writing process. And then, as you journal over time, you kind of get your sea legs, if you will, from journaling. And you could actually even put some of that into a publication of some sort. And that's how I started writing, is from my journaling post. And Dora, is your book published yet? The one that you were a
It
part of?
should be coming out here in March. It's called The Hospitable Host with STR Sisterhood, but it's just a chapter in a book.
Yeah. So you're co-authoring that, and
Yes.
mine's co-author as well. This will be my fourth co-author book, and so the one beyond biohacking. So anyway, all of this for me has come out of my life experiences and my journaling. So Andorra put some great questions for journaling. What do I want? Who am I becoming? And what am I no longer available for? I like that one. What am I no longer available for? And the only thing that I would add to the end of that is, once you journal, is how does it make you feel? Because that's where your emotions come in. Because your body doesn't lie. Sometimes we tell ourselves, I'm going to do this, but you're just not feeling it. And that's your body telling you this is maybe not the right thing for you. So I do like the question on how does it make you feel? So let's talk about legacy. I think with legacy, I think we reach a certain place in our lives where we start thinking about, what are we going to leave behind? And I don't know about you, but and I know Andorra has. I have worked really, really, really hard to build up the real estate because that was going to be my retirement income. And I plan on living for a really long time. And just so you know, for those of you that are listening, in this last body scan that I did that I was telling you about, the doctor told me that my body is about 20 years younger than what I really am. So I'll take that because I want to live for a really long time because I still have some really fun things that I want to do and I don't want to run out of time. And so I built up the real estate. I want to do some traveling. I definitely want to travel internationally. And so think about what it is that you want to leave as a legacy. Now, I love the writing process because that leaves a legacy. And Andorra, your book will live on long after you're gone. Your chapter will be there, your name will be on it, and that will go on forever. So please, look at the books that we read now. I do have quite a collection of books. I love books. So, and I'm an avid reader, and I have tons of books. I love that I have those books, and I love now that I can leave some books behind with my name on them, with my story, with what I felt, with what I believed in. So think about what you want to leave as your legacy. What are your dreams? What is it that you want to do? So speak to that a little bit, Andorra.
I was just putting some stuff in the chat that I think when we're younger, we chase success, right? We're constantly chasing that, and we're, what's that next level? And I think as we get older, we start asking ourselves about what is significant in our life, what's most important. And I think, you start realizing how, again, it goes into the legacy. I was getting ready to type something else in that legacy is really how people feel after they've been in your presence, right? It's about what you leave behind. It doesn't have to even be something material, to your point, but really, what are you known for? What were you known for? What kind of life did you live, a life of integrity? Did you live a life where you were giving to other people? I think it's, again, I'm going to go wrap it back into at this point in time in our lives, it's all really about creating memories, right? It's making sure that the things that we are spending our time on, like I would say that Kathy Benner Academy is that's your legacy. That's something you're known for to help people. I know I'm looking at some of the people on this call. I remember telling Mindy, "Oh, I can't wait for you to meet Kathy Benner. She is so good at like any type of business problem. You bring it to her and she'll tell you what to do." And I see Estella Blake. I think Estella Blake is somebody that I had referred over to you, I think a long, long time ago. And it was like, you need to talk to this Kathy Benner, because Kathy, and I don't know for those of you who how well you know her, but she has lived like a million lifetimes. Like I'll talk to her and she's like, "Oh yeah, I don't know. Didn't you tell me you were a travel agent one time as well?"
Oh, yeah.
So, see, I did travel agency as well, because when I was younger, I needed to work two jobs. I would have my full-time corporate job, and then I would have a part-time job. So, and it's, we laugh because we always say, gosh, we should have ran into each other at different times. So I did travel agency. Then we got to talking and she's like, "Yeah, I wanted to be an airline stewardess." And I'm like, I did, so it's just funny how what you wanted when you're younger changes so dramatically as we get older, right? And it's just, I think, I'm kind of more here lately in a very retrospective kind of like looking at my life, and especially, again, with just losing my sister in January. And she had passed away from pulmonary heart disease. She was very large. I would say probably in her adult life, she got down to maybe 300, and at one time she was up to 500. And it's just, it's very sad that her life was cut short, all because of lifestyle choices, right? And it's easy to say, "Hey, I'm going to do this, I'm going to do that," but it's another thing to actually do it. And it's never too late until it's too late, right? And even, like the little small steps just to get healthier. Like you said, Kathy, you said that you lost a significant amount of weight over the past 2 years. And it really starts off with baby steps, right? It's nothing, they say that to change a habit or to start a new habit, it takes at least 90 days, right? So that's something to think about, just something small. And if somebody's like, "I really want to get back into exercise and start taking care of my health." And again, that kind of go back with legacy. I know, Kathy, you're like, "I walk a 5K every day." That's your motto. It's just, it's never too late to think about your legacy and what you want to leave. And then if it's something health related, that can kind of give you that drive to do that.
And I think also we reach a stage of our lives where we want to start giving back. So for those of you that click over onto the KathyBenner.com, you'll see a whole giving page there. I'm giving away a scholarship for those that want to get licensed as a real estate agent here in May. I give away scholarships every year. We've been doing it since 2021. And so I'm giving away another scholarship this year. I already have been getting applications. There's a link there if you want to apply or if you know someone that wants to apply. And I also donate for those that are in the tribe of the Kathy Benner International Academy. I also donate around the world. I donate not only locally, different scholarship programs locally, but also nationally and then internationally. And all of that's on the site. If you just go to KathyBenner.com and click around, you'll see all of that where we give. continuously, because I just feel so strongly about that. And there were folks that helped me along the way, and I want to do my part and give back, and I'm at a place now where I can do that. So I appreciate all of you. Anybody have any comments or questions for me or Andor, or do you want to share about what you're sensing or going through right now as far as where your attention goes, your energy flows? Anybody want to comment on that, on what's happening in your world right now?
I think we should call on people like Estella Blake.
Well, she was doing double duty with another call tonight, so I
Was
don't know.
she? Okay. I was just going to be ornery because I was going
But
to.
we have Sherry. I know Sherry. I know Sunil. I've interviewed Sunil, oh gosh, at least
Or
twice, if
Mindy.
not
What
more.
about Mindy? We could bug Mindy because she's
Mindy's
one also
there.
is mute.
Yeah,
I'm
but
co-hosting. Oh, you're co-hosting. Okay. But seriously though, when we talk about legacy, I see, it's all women on here. What's important to you? Like literally, because we can kind of, I know you came up with this theme tonight of all the different things. So literally, maybe when you get off this call tonight, like maybe think for a second, maybe journal and say, okay, what is the most important thing to me in my life? What would I want to be known for? If I died tomorrow, what would I want to be known for?
And kind of reverse engineer that, because a lot of times you might pick something and then you realize in your day-to-day activity, you're not really pushing the cart in that direction yet.
Correct. Yep. And figure out, what it is. I mean, it can be anything. It can be something as simple if somebody on here wants to spend more time with family. Okay, every year you could create a legacy family reunion or a family picnic, or every year this is something that you have. I mean, that's a legacy, believe it or not. Family reunions are. It could be something like that, or it could be something in your community, something small. Like, you know what? If you live in a smaller town, or maybe you live in a larger city, and you're like, you know what? I am going to. This year is going to be the year that maybe I help towards homeless, somebody that's homeless. Maybe I've seen this just recently when Tom and I went down to a concert at a Ohio Theater. And as we were walking along, I saw where somebody had put in Ziploc bags, mittens and like a bottle of water. And like some of them had scarves and they had put it near the parking area. Because oftentimes if somebody's homeless, they're going to try to get shelter. Well, it was snowing a little bit Saturday. And I noticed that there were different things. And then, oftentimes you'll see things like, because I've worked downtown Columbus for over 30 years, I'm walking during lunchtime. Sometimes I would see where people would strategically place Bibles. I mean, it can be anything small.
Well,
Legacy doesn't have to be anything big, right?
right. And one, there's a girlfriend, my girlfriend right here in Canal Winchester, Ohio. She does a walk from downtown Canal Winchester to the food pantry every Monday morning. And she invites folks to do the, and that's not that far, but she invites folks to do that walk with her, and they have to bring an item to donate to the food pantry.
See, that's a very cool thing. I mean, it's very cool.
She's been doing that for a couple of years now, and she's now known for that she does that food pantry walk every Monday morning.
Well, years ago when I had my, I still have, Maltese dog, but I live in Pickerington and there's all these like nursing homes that are close to Pickerington. It must be, I swear there's like within a half mile radius, I can think of five different nursing homes. And when I first got my two little Maltese, I used to take them into the nursing home, like once a week. And they would like to play with them and stuff. Now I feel terrible because I kind of got out of that because I got busy. But I'm just saying it's just little things that you can do, to have a legacy. I mean, anything like that. And I kind of, you really don't realize how lonely people are in those nursing homes until you go into them. And I know Mindy's daughter. Does she still work at a nursing home in Zanesville, Mindy, or is it?
No, she's in Johnstown now.
But it's another
She's in
nursing home.
Morgan House.
But it's just like creating joy. Like she makes these amazing charcuterie boards, and it's like, and then she does these fun things for holidays. And like I said, you could even do something at a local nursing home once a year, and say, you know what, I think I'm going to have Halloween celebration for somebody. You know, I mean, just something simple like that, I think would be kind of cool. Or even, you know, at Christmas time, donating, taking up, you can go to some of the these places. I'm trying to think of something right now where they'll say, okay, we have these children or a family that needs these particular things, these clothing size, and then you can actually, you know, just anything like that, I think is cool. So it, like I said, it doesn't have to be big, and it doesn't even have to be expensive. It's something you can make things handmade, you know. I know my sister, when the COVID started, she really liked to sew. So she went and made these little cloth masks. I don't know if you remember them, Mindy, or not.
Yes.
And I don't know if you
Yeah.
remember them. And they were really cool. She did like Ohio State. And then she like donated a bunch to like the emergency squad in the local town that she was in. And then she, for whatever reason, from the little town that we were from, there's like a bazillion nurses, it seems like. So she would give them a lot of, you know, that, or she would take them to this local church and donate to the older population, you know, just something, just anything, you know. So I think when you talk about legacy, I think people always think about something really grandiose, very large, and you know, it doesn't have to be that way, right? It can be anything.
Exactly. Yeah, it can be something very small. We're coming up to the top of the hour, and one of the things that we promised is that we wanted to keep it like inside an hour because we know everybody is busy, and this call is, you know, again, 7 to 8, so it's a little later on a Wednesday evening. And for those of you that have work to do, we get it. So we don't want to take up all of your evening. Next month, we're going to talk about simplifying. And what that means when we talk about everything from selecting something that no longer serves you, whether it be with your health, with your income, with writing, with legacy, whatever it is, it's how to, again, reverse engineer where it is you want to go, what your dreams are, what it is that you really want to do with your life, because now is the time. Don't wait till it's too late and go, oh, I wish I could have, or, you know, I should have. You want to do it now. And so we're going to talk about how to get more margins in our lifestyle. That's the main topic for next month, is how to create those margins so that you have the freedom to do the fun stuff, because that's where life is in the fun stuff. So anybody have any comments? And now it's so good that you turned your camera back on. I love seeing your lovely face. Tracy, thank you so much for being with us. Mindy, thanks for being my co-host and keeping me straight here today. Sherry, I
I'm
didn't
going
get
to need a
Okay. Sherry, I didn't get to see your beautiful face, but thank you for being on. Estella's doing double duty, I know that. Florence, thank you. I didn't get to meet you officially, but thank you so much for joining us. And Alicia, thank you so much for joining us. Any comments from anyone? I want to make it open if there's any comments before we go. Anybody have any comments?
Just a quick comment, Kathy. Thank you. Everything you said, well, a lot of what you said really resonated. I know we all have different experiences. I just want to thank you for holding the space and continuing to hold these
We're going to mute
nuggets,
Estella. Sorry.
jewels to us. So thanks so much.
Thank you for being here. I really appreciate you, Sunil. Check her out. You see all of her, our names here in our little Hollywood squares. Check out Sunil. She's got quite the business. So check her out. I think all of us have a business so far. Tracy, do you have a business? Are you entrepreneurial at all?
No, I work for the National Alliance on Mental Illness.
Okay. Well, thank you for being here today. Thank you so much.
Yes.
Well,
And
thank you for having me.
you especially need this. I mean, I think anytime when we need to re-energize, when our jobs are very depleting emotionally and even physically, so that's a tough job that you have. So very,
Yes.
very difficult. So you need this more, need that re-energizing more than most sometimes, right?
Well, thank you. Yeah. It's stressful. I work with families, so it's hard when you're dealing with mental illness, exhausting, and yeah.
Definitely.
But
Yeah,
thank you,
I
Kathy,
think this
for
happened. I'm so sorry.
sharing.
Well, thank you so much for being with us. I appreciate you so much, Tracy. Estella, did you have something you'd like to share?
I just wanted to say, number one, I found the title intriguing, and you had some good points, particularly when you were sharing about your dad and you know, how he had to work all year before he got paid. And then you just, you had to handle the money. And just also about the sleeping, that's critical, which that is one of my areas I definitely have to be more attentive to. But
Well, it goes back to that video that I ran across today, where if you can control your evening, you can control your life.
did you share a video? I came on a little late because he wouldn't let me back in.
Oh, sorry. Yep, I kept watching
I
for you.
just kept trying, and well, the thing when I would click on it, it just had all the other dates and no place for me to get back in. So I finally got in. I used another device.
Okay, well, and now for those of you that are still on the call, let me give you a little hack. You'll see a little green shield somewhere on your device. If you click on that green shield, it will give you a webinar ID. And I can maybe, oh, nope, it's not going to let me copy it. I thought I could copy and paste it. It won't let me copy it. But anyhow, there is a webinar ID. And if you save that webinar ID, and I can read it to you, it's 865-2549. 0000, 865-2549-0000. You can enter the Zoom call by simply entering that webinar ID instead of going through the whole registration process again. So put that on your calendars, wherever you keep track of this call. We're the fourth Wednesday at 7 p.m. And if you have a calendar that you keep track of all of that on, you can put that webinar ID right there and you can come right into the webinar. So hopefully that'll make things easier for you, Estella. But anyway, Estella, tell the folks what it is you do real quick.
I help people have access to legal and identity theft services. We're real good for realtors because a lot of times they have rental property and different things like that, and sometimes they have issues, but also for family and personal, in terms of getting your wills done and disputes with anyone, or just need to talk to an attorney about any kind of issue, and you don't have to worry about getting a bill. You pay a small monthly amount, and you have access, comprehensive access to a law firm versus just an attorney. And
Yeah,
then
Andor and I
identity
both
theft.
have LegalShield, and we run our leases past LegalShield all the time for
Yes,
our business. Yeah.
it's so economical, and
Yeah,
And
well,
then
thank you.
identity theft is also, Forbes has rated us best in class for both of them.
Good, 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 good. Thank you for being with us.
Thank
Sunil,
you.
give us a plug about what you do, Sunil. I mentioned earlier you had a business. Tell folks what it is that you do.
So yes, I have a book titled Resilience: Overcoming Obstacles with Mindfulness. I'm a health scientist and professor, and I have two businesses. A clinical business called Wellness with Sunil, where I do muscle treatments. And then I also have a nonprofit where much of what you were talking about, being able to give back to the community, promoting women's health and wellness. So I'm just really happy to be on the call. Thank you so much again. Thanks to both of you.
Yeah, thank you. And Dora had a call, so she had to jump off. We heard from Tracy and Sunil and Estella. Mindy, did you have any comments before we go, or are you just going to hang in there and be the co-host?
I'm just hanging here being a co-host, waiting for my nap. I'm just kidding. No, Andor and Kathy and I, we hang out pretty regularly, so we know a whole lot about each other. I also work a full-time job, and then I do cleaning on the side. So I clean houses, condos, apartments, clean out whatever needs done, or if you
My
have a
midterm rentals.
if you have a a person that you need to deal with or have someone deal with as far as keeping their place clean or cleaning up the property area and things like that. I'm pretty strict about that. So if you need somebody to a little not hurt, but kind of like strong arm that can stand up to some of those people, because I work with inmates during the day, so I deal with those. All men, I couldn't deal with women. I'll associate with you, but I won't deal with you on a one-on-one, an incarceration type.
No, I get it. I get
So.
it. They always say that in an incarcerated situation that the women are always worse than the men.
And they
So.
listen to me before they'll listen to one of the guys. So kind of like Tracy, you deal with that mental health and that, you know, they're self-medicating, or, you know, they're on the MAT program, which is medication assisted treatment and things like that. It gets hard at the end of the day some days. When I first started out 20 years ago, it was hard. I would come home and think, you know, why didn't I say this, or why didn't I say that, or why didn't I do this? And sometimes it helps to hear little things from other people that you can like put into your daily routine and make things a little easier. So
well, that, thank you, Mindy.
And, you know, and raising kids.
Well, I appreciate you being here. Yes. Thank you so much. Sherry had to jump off. And of course, Andora got a phone call and she had to jump off. Alicia, did you want to make a comment or have anything to say? Alicia did post, thank you, Kathy and team. Alicia, did you want to share before we go?
Just thank you. I'm trying to cook for my dad, so I'm just been listening. But, you know, it's just, it's wonderful to see you, Kathy. It's been like a couple of years, I think, since I've been on a call. And, you know, I'm just trying to get back to some things. Had a kind of a rough year last year, but I'm moving forward. So,
well, good. Alicia, I'm so happy to see you. It's so nice that you're here today.
Thank you. Thank you so much. And thank you all for sharing.
All right. Thank you. And with that, we are going to go. Put us on your calendar, fourth Wednesday at 7 o'clock. And again, if you want to go straight into the webinar, it's 865-2549-0000. That's the webinar ID. And you can just open up your Zoom app and go straight into the actual webinar. So, but you can always go to KathyBenner.com and click through that way as well, because it'll be listed there as well. So we will see everyone next time. Thank you so much for coming. Bye, everybody.
Bye.